Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. After 3 years of work, our follow-up to the Meat Eater Fish and Game Cookbook is here. It's the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. Wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, campfire, and camp stove. Here is your book for everything that's best cooked or eaten outside. From grilling to open fire cooking to Dutch ovens to smokers to barbecue to backpacking meals to how to pull off the perfect fish fry. With pit stops along the way for lessons about ice age cooking methods and the best 5 ways to construct a cooking fire you can be proud of. And of course, we're focusing on wild game and fish here with over 100 recipes, including stuffed venison burgers 3 ways, wild duck with aji verde sauce, a jerky made with cola, a gin and tonic made with fire charred lemons, and grilled frog legs made with a sticky sweet sauce. This ain't your normal cookbook, so be prepared to be surprised. Get your copy now. For more info, visit themeateater.com or buy it wherever books are sold.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Brody Henderson, Ryan Callahan, Giannis Poutelis, Tressa Croker, Rick Hutton, Hayden Samick, Corey Calkins, and Carl Young. Now, Carl, this is your first time on the show, so tell folks what you do at FHF.
So I just do customer service work over at FHF and harass Rick as much as possible.
Rick, is that hold
yeah,
true?
Yeah, no, that's true. He's good at one of those things, bad at the other. So,
okay. Carl, are you like the customer service at FHF?
So I'm the one who answers most of the phone calls, but I do split that duty with another gentleman named Jake.
So if you call FHF to complain about something that Rick did, you would talk to Carl.
Yes.
Right? And that goes right to your cell phone. We were just sitting here before the show, and he was getting a customer service call. You're going to call him back after this, right?
Absolutely, I will.
Okay.
How long you been cultivating lettuce on the side?
Oh, you know, probably about, you know, 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Finally made the full commit to a mullet about 2 months ago.
Yeah, so, it's flowing.
Thank you. I appreciate flowing. That.
It looks good. Yeah. I
think, cultivating lettuce on the side?
I didn't get that either.
So this is what you would call lettuce. This stuff in the back.
Got it. We're describing hockey hair.
Yes.
A big flowing moulet.
Yes. Beautifully put.
Looks good.
Hear it through the phone if you call FHF. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's 4 verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. A few games ago, we looked at a stat about the amount of questions that are asked where no one gets the right answer. This happens about 7% of the time. Well, today, we're looking at questions asked where everyone gets the right answer. After going through each episode, I've learned that about 5% of the time, the entire room gets the right answer. So to reiterate, 7% of the time, no one gets it right, and 5% of the time, everyone gets it right.
Do you feel like you failed when you ask a question that everyone gets right?
I don't love it. You're right about that, Brody, but finding that it's only 5% of the time, I feel okay about that. Then it's every other episode then that it happens.
Yeah, it's like a charitable gift at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
A bone.
Mm-hmm. All right, now here's our 0%er question of the week. This is from episode 329, and the topic is conservation. If you know the answer, you can just shout it out. What Great Lakes state has the most plants and animals on the endangered species list?
New York.
Michigan.
No and no.
Ohio.
No.
Maine.
The correct answer is Illinois, which nobody got again. Now, the incorrect answer is given on that show were Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, New York, and Wisconsin, which is damn near the whole region.
Oh, I remember the discussion about this one. It had to do with a lot of freshwater mussels in rivers. Was
that
correct?
That's right. Yeah. Cal even helped out the room, said, you know, usually these lists are chock full of bivalves, yet nobody got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have some housekeeping to get to. On episode 412, which was not that long ago, we started doing the Zero Percenter Question of the Week. This was met with criticism from Brody. Play the clip, Phil. So this week, we're adding a new installment where before we play, I'm going to ask you guys one of these Zero Percenter questions to see if you've retained anything from Meat Eater Trivia.
But hold on, that doesn't count in the main game?
It's not part of the game. Not part of the game.
We're just gonna see. A little bonus fun.
That's right. We're just going to see what you learned. Here's the first one. This was from episode 339, and the topic was fishing. If you know the answer, you can just shout it out. In 1998... Congress voted to make this body of water the sixth Great Lake, but had the status removed 18 days later after a nationwide uproar.
Aren't we Lake Champlain?
You remember that?
I mean, you tell us the answers after everyone gets them wrong. Well,
you said retaining
this,
it.
This is the experiment, Brody. We're going to see if you remembered
what
the answers
were. Were you not listening to what he just said?
I don't think we have a good listener in the room.
Apparently.
We have an angry listener in the room.
No, I don't.
Grumpy listener.
No, it's got nothing to do. Like,
all right, I got it right.
Brody got it. It's Lake Champlain. The answers that we had given were Lake St. Clair and Lake Tahoe. But as Grumpy Brody said, the correct answer was Lake
Listen,
Champlain.
This guy's nothing to do with being grumpy. We're just like repeating answers that were already given.
Brody, which was the point?
All right. Now, as you heard there, Grumpy Brody insisted this was a dumb idea. But now I want to share with you where this idea came from. This is from episode 404. Play the clip, Phil.
What was the Shelby Index on that one?
Well, that was before we had it, so I don't recall what it was. But in the 45 episodes since, we've had zero games where the winner got four correct answers and just two games where the winner got five.
You should ask us a question that everyone missed and see if we got smarter.
You know, I thought about it, but the problem is some folks
obviously
weren't
here
from that episode. Other ones were. So I've considered the idea, but I thought it would be, one, I don't think it would be real fun for the audience. And two, I think it would be unfair.
No, I'm just saying, like, not part of the game, just to warm things up.
Sure.
See, what it was a good idea.
Now, Brody, what do you have to say for yourself after hearing those two clips?
Sometimes you have a good idea that turns out to be a bad idea.
Okay, and where do you fall currently on this idea, good or bad?
I think it's a waste of time to go over old news.
Okay, sticking with the episode 412 attitude and saying episode 404, Brody was an idiot. Is that right?
I'll let you know the next time I have another good idea.
Okay.
It's hard to think critically about populated areas of the country. Like, it's like, well, to me, it's all dirty, so everything's got to be endangered over there.
Hey, have we really played 404 games of trivia?
No, this drops in the main Meat Eater feed. I think we're up to almost 50, though.
I see. So that it counts within Meat Eater's numbers.
That's right. Now, the Shelby Index for this round is a 4, so our winner should get about 8 correct answers. With that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is fishing, and as always, this will be multiple choice. What does the A in scuba stand for? Is it aquatic, apparatus, atmosphere, or anchor? Again,
good nautical terms.
What does the A in scuba stand for? Aquatic, apparatus, atmosphere, or anchor? Few folks knew this one before we even got to the choices. Brody, you got this one right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never done it, but I'm pretty sure I got it right.
Again, choices are aquatic, apparatus, atmosphere, or anchor.
Yeah, I got certified when I was a kid.
Fishing, huh?
Fishing.
And actually, scuba dived in Flathead Lake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, miserable experience.
Some cold water.
Oh, cold. Like.
But clear.
Clear, dark, cold. Like, I'm not doing it again. haven't gone back.
Does everybody have an answer?
Does Flathead have one of those mystery monsters that's supposed to be there?
It does.
Yeah. Flathead Lake Monster. Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying apparatus. Hayden saying apparatus. Rick saying apparatus. Brody saying apparatus. Corey saying aquatic. Cal saying apparatus. Tressa saying aquatic. Giannis saying apparatus. The correct answer is apparatus. The full scuba acronym stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. It was coined by Dr. Christian Lambertson in 1954, who was renaming his previous invention, the LaRue. LaRue was also an acronym, which meant the Lambertson Amphibious Respiratory Unit.
Scuba's much neater.
I like it. Question two, the topic is cooking. What is the name for the Cajun sausage that's traditionally made with liver and rice? What's the name for the Cajun sausage that's traditionally made with liver and rice?
I feel like this could be one that...
You gonna try to argue?
Nope. I feel like this could be one of your five percenters.
Oh, okay. Well, there were some quick answers in the room. We don't have many Southerners in here, but I think folks know this one. Again, what is the name for the Cajun sausage that's traditionally made with liver and rice?
I got a lot of liver stockpiled in the freezer right now.
How's that specifically stuff freeze?
Seems to do real well, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it kind of goes past the point of me eating it with eggs for breakfast, but in sausage, it's good.
Rick, you good? Tressa, good? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying boudin, Hayden saying boudin, Rick without an answer, Brody saying boudin, Corey saying andouille, Cal saying boudin, Tressa saying boudin, question mark, and Giannis saying boudin. They got it. The correct answer is boudin. Boudin was invented hundreds of years ago by people who migrated to Louisiana from Nova Scotia and France. A traditional recipe uses pork meat, organ meat, rice, onions, bell peppers, celery, and lots of Creole spices. If you want to learn how to make it, then go to themeateater.com and check out Jean-Paul Bourgeois' recipe called Goose Boudin Sausage. Question three, the topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Zach Green. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Considered a near-threatened species, this is the only venomous lizard that's native to the United States. Considered a near-threatened species, this is the only venomous lizard that's native to the United States. Quick answers again from Carl, Brody, Hayden. Giannis doesn't know it quite yet.
I wanted one of these things for a pet when I was a kid.
Hmm. I could give
still
a hint.
Still would like to have one.
Give a hint to Giannis.
I'm sure it's highly illegal to own one of these things for a pet.
Hayden, you know this one.
Yeah, I think so.
Rick, you got this?
I feel like I do. Okay. Might be wrong, though.
Again, the question is considered a near-threatened species. This is the only venomous lizard that's native to the United States.
I'm drawing a blank.
Brody, you ever watch an old documentary, Elephant in the Living Room?
I don't think so.
I can't find it, but I'm sure someone will message in. But it's about the illegal pet trade and all these venomous snakes and lizards. It's wild. They go into the shows undercover. And people have
it's a serious documentary.
Yeah, yeah. It was one made for the awareness of how there's no regulation on it. It's pretty wild. I remember I watched it years ago and I can't find it again, but it was good. But people were buying African pit vipers and stuff for their kids. And they're in Gladware containers with little holes cut in the top, duct taped.
Have you ever been to the Hamburg show?
Yeah, that show. Well, I haven't been, but I know about that show.
It's gnarly. Really, yeah. The amount of reptiles in that building is pretty
Isn't
crazy.
That the largest in the country? Or one of them?
It's one of the biggest ones, yeah, for sure.
I was working with the U.S. Park System on... trying to see if we could pull off a show down at Big Cypress Preserve. And the guy I was talking to got really frustrated. He said, "You want me to just tell you how it is?" It's people think that iguanas are falling out of trees because one person decided to let their iguana go because it got too big. or one person let their tegu lizard go because it got too big, or boa, or whatever. He's like, we raise hundreds of thousands of these things in farms in Florida legally. Every time there's a storm, fences go down, and hundreds of thousands of these things get loose. He's like, it's an industry down here. He's like, it is not people letting their pets go.
Cal, do you have an answer?
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
I might be hung up on
we have Carl saying Gila Monster. Hayden saying Gila Monster. Rick saying Gila Monster. Brody saying Gila Monster. Corey saying Gila Monster. Cal saying Gila Monster. Tressa saying Gecko. Giannis saying Gila Monster. So we close to a 5%. Correct answer is Gila Monster. Gila monsters are found in Mexico, as well as Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and New Mexico. Along with Komodo dragons and Mexican beaded lizards, Gila monsters are some of the only venomous lizards in the world. Measuring up to 22 inches long, they are also considered the biggest lizard that's native to the United States.
You guys ever see one on a coos deer hunt, Giannis?
No, sir.
No?
I have a question.
I saw one once as a kid on the side of the road.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was worried I was going to get that wrong because, like, the delineation between venomous and poisonous. What's the difference?
Well, venomous, you have to be, like, bit by something that has the venom on their teeth. And poisonous would be, like, you ate the thing that is now making you sick. I think that's, like, where the distinction is at.
Yep. Oh. It's like a mechanism, like, right? Like, it's like a hypodermic needle delivery system.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I thought venomous. There was, like, something with, like, the Komodo dragon and the Gila monster where, like, they had bacteria that just kind of, like, developed and hung out in
That's
their...
the Komodo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question four, the topic is hunting. What duck is featured on the federal duck stamp that will expire on July 1st, 2023?
Son of a buck.
What duck is featured on the federal duck stamp that will expire on July 1st, 2023.
I buy like three of these things a year. I have no idea.
Buy three more. Some quick answers in the room. Some not so confident folks.
I'm very not confident.
I would guess everybody has one of these things.
I actually just took mine out of my wallet the other day and set it in my little
folder. You didn't
sit
there and appreciate the art?
I didn't.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer?
I'm going to change it.
Again, what duck is featured on the federal duck stamp that will expire on July 1st, 2023? Is everybody ready?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying redhead, Hayden saying bufflehead, Rick saying a native one, Brody saying cinnamon teal, Corey saying wood duck, Cal saying scop, Tressa saying teal. Giannis saying redhead. We have a correct answer in the room. It's redhead.
Whoa, I changed it from redhead
Carl and Giannis
to cinnamon
get it.
Teal.
Ah.
I just took it out of the back of my phone 2 days ago.
Well done.
That's how I remember.
I knew it had that color head.
The artist of the current federal duck stamp is James Hotman, who's considered the winningest artist in duck stamp history. James has won the competition 6 times since the year 1990. His 2 brothers, Joseph and Robert, have also won the competition, which has inspired some to refer to them as the true duck dynasty. Question 5. The topic is gear. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Patrick Scarry for sending this great question. Patrick is going to get a signed book by Steve. Named after America's largest land mammal, this clothing pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s. The topic is gear. Named after America's largest land mammal, this clothing pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s. The answer
pattern,
we're looking for has to do with
pattern.
The clothing pattern. That's right. It's named after America's largest land mammal.
Yeah.
Does anybody think they have this one right?
I do.
Well, okay.
I feel strongly about the pattern.
Okay.
And I feel strongly about the mammal. However, I don't see how they connect at all.
Okay. One more time here. Named after America's largest land mammal, this clothing pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s. Brody, do you have this one right?
I think I got a shot.
Okay.
1850s, long time ago.
Did they even have popular clothing back then?
We'll learn about that in the follow-up factoid.
Hmm.
Do you have an answer, Giannis?
No.
Okay. Only a few folks have an answer right now.
What do you mean by pattern?
Yeah.
Well,
not going to give any further hints.
Like, do you mean it's like a pattern that you then build clothing off of? Or a camouflage pattern, for instance?
Not giving any further hints. It's named after America's largest land mammal. This clothing pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s.
Oh, wait.
Giannis, you getting any closer to coming up with the answer, you think?
No.
How about you, Cal?
No. I got an answer.
Okay. Giannis, I think we're waiting on you.
Moving on.
Yep.
Giannis?
I'll just do a question mark, Giannis. Just push it through. That's what I did on the one. Just let's keep her moving.
Giannis. Giannis?
I'm ready.
Wait.
Oh, sorry. No, he didn't have that written down when the bell rang.
Stop it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying buffalo. Hayden saying, what's that say, Hayden?
He says moose tracks.
Moose tracks. Rick sang buffalo plaid. Brody sang buffalo plaid. Corey sang moose flannel. Cal sang plaid. Tressa without an answer. Giannis sang buffalo plaid. The correct answer is buffalo plaid.
The room did fairly well. Get this?
If you just said buffalo or plaid, I'm not giving it to you. You had to put both those words together.
Well, no, buffalo, I wouldn't plaid. Give anybody who said buffalo this because that's the largest land mammal. You asked what the pattern was.
Right, and it's buffalo plaid.
The pattern
plaid.
Was absolutely plaid.
Buffalo plaid.
I can't
Giannis, good. Yeah, you listen, squeaked in there. Yeah, good.
Cal, we're not going to take it.
Brody, what do you think of this?
I don't think we can give it to you, Cal.
Really, why is that? Tell me.
Because it doesn't say what kind of plaid. There's what kind of plaid is that you're wearing right now? It's not buffalo plaid.
Let's hear the question again.
Okay. Here's the question again.
And you tell me how this answer doesn't pertain to the question
because it's
specifically.
Because it's named after an animal.
That's right. I told you how specific I needed it because I told you it's named after America's largest land mammal. This clothing pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s.
Take it up with Spencer. I'm not getting involved.
This pattern was popularized by Woolrich in the 1850s. You could just say that.
Buffalo plaid.
And the answer is plaid.
Although Woolrich is credited with mass producing the pattern in America, it was actually created in Scotland about 50 years prior. Buffalo plaid was often marketed to hunters and for good reason. According to Dr. Jay Neitz, a color vision researcher from the University of Washington, buffalo plaid could be considered the first digital camel pattern that humans produced.
What colors were involved, Spencer?
I think the ones that you see from the advertisements are always your classic red and black. For the buffalo plaid.
You know, I sat there and contemplated putting buffalo in front of that because I wrote it down immediately because I knew the answer. But then I thought, no, this is an appropriate answer and I'd rather just argue it.
Thank you for giving us more content. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Everybody is on the board. Corey and Tressa have 1 point apiece. Rick and Hayden and Cal all have 3 points.
4 points, really.
Carl and Brody have 4 points. And with a perfect game, did not take Rick's advice and write a question mark. It's Giannis Patelis with 5 points.
Yanni.
Thanks,
halfway
Phil.
Through.
After 3 years of work, our follow-up to the Meat Eater Fishing Game Cookbook is here. It's the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, campfire, and camp stove. Here is your book for everything that's best cooked or eaten outside, from grilling to open fire cooking to Dutch ovens to smokers to barbecue to backpacking meals to how to pull off the perfect fish fry. With pit stops along the way for lessons about ice age cooking methods and the best 5 ways to construct a cooking fire you can be proud of. And of course, we're focusing on wild game and fish here with over 100 recipes, including stuffed venison burgers 3 ways, wild duck with aji verde sauce, a jerky made with cola, a gin and tonic made with fire charred lemons, and grilled frog legs made with a sticky sweet sauce. This ain't your normal cookbook, so be prepared to be surprised. Get your copy now. For more info, visit themeateater.com or buy it wherever books are sold.
Question 6. The topic is woodsmanship. What is the top-selling Girl Scout cookie?
That's woodsmanship.
Yes.
Don't get me started.
Girl Scouts, woodsman.
What is the top-selling Girl Scout cookie? Some quick answers in the room.
Ha.
Do you know all the Girl Scout cookies, Cal?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I avoid the table when I see it.
Tressa, were you ever in the Girl Scouts?
I've heard this before somewhere else.
I got a good guess.
Again, what is the top-selling Girl Scout cookie? Topic is woodsmanship.
Woodsmanship. Girl Scouts.
Woodswomanship. Does everybody have an answer for what the top-selling Girl Scout cookie is? Brody.
I got my answer. I'm trying to think of another cookie, but I can't think of
how many people buy Girl Scout cookies in this room?
It seems like some end up in our house every year.
It's been a while, but I've bought them in the past.
Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying Thin Mint. Hayden saying Tagalongs. Rick saying Sonoma.
He means Samoa.
Samoa.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
But I like to drink wine, too.
Brody saying Thin Mints. Corey saying Samoa. Cal saying Thin Mints. Tressa saying Samoa. Giannis saying Thin Mint. The correct answer is Thin Mints.
Ah,
that was my second choice.
According to
Buffalo
the Girl
Thin
Scouts, according to the Girl Scouts, their top seller is the Thin Mint. That's followed by Caramel Delights or Samoas in second, then Peanut Butter Patties or Tagalongs in third, then Do-Si-Dos or Peanut Butter Sandwiches in fourth, and then Lemonades or Lemon Ups in fifth. Similar to the Boy Scouts, one of the four Girl Scout pillars is outdoors, where they teach activities like camping, outdoor cooking, navigating, and more.
I always thought it was such bullshit when they'd be running around selling cookies, and they'd be like, oh, you guys get to go sell these tubs of uncooked popcorn. Good luck! Right?
I love that popcorn. That's good
cookies
shit.
Cookies are way better.
Yeah, but come on. I don't understand popcorn at all.
No?
No. Don't get it.
Question 7. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Megan O'Merrill, who asked us to wish her boyfriend Nick a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Nick. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This national park, which is located in Maine, is the first national park in America to see the sunrise each morning. This national park, which is located in Maine, is the first national park in America to see the sunrise each morning. Confident answer at Brody, who is staring at Giannis.
Does it touch the ocean?
Not going to give you any hints.
Does it involve a lighthouse?
This national park, which is located in Maine, is the first national park in America to see the sunrise each morning.
You know we're gaining like 4 minutes a day right now, daylight.
Feels good. And
this
it's
morning
noticeable.
Was, I just was telling my girls when I went to wake them up. I'm like, it's the first morning that I've woken you guys up for school that you can see outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And what do they think of that?
They're just kind of like, whatever, dude.
Does everybody have an answer? Brody, you know this. You're pretty confident.
I mean, I'm confident.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Stared across the room at Giannis. Well, this might ruin his perfect game.
I'm trying to figure out if.
How many national parks in Maine can you name? I can only name one, so that's the one I wrote down.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the one I wrote down is in Maine.
Is everybody ready?
Might be a state park for all I know.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying Acadia. Hayden sang Maine Sunrise. Rick sang Acadia. Brody sang Acadia. Corey sang Atlantic Tip. Hmm. Cal sang, what's that say, Cal?
Katahdin.
Tressa without an answer. Giannis sang Acadia. The correct answer is Acadia National Park. Huh. Giannis keeps the perfect game going. Acadia sunrises are a popular tourist attraction, especially on New Year's Day. For half the year, it's actually the first place in the United States that sees the sunrise. One of the last sunrises is in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, which happens about 5 hours later. Question 8, the topic is fishing. This micro spinner bait, which is sold by Johnson Fishing, was declared one of the 50 greatest lures of all time by Field & Stream. This micro spinner bait, which is sold by Johnson Fishing, was declared one of the 50 greatest lures of all time by Field & Stream. Giannis, our man with the perfect game, looks like he doesn't know it.
What's the definition of a spinner bait? And micro, for that matter.
Let's not go too deep into that.
Okay. Again, this national park, which is located... that's the last question. Just testing you. Everyone passed. This micro spinnerbait, which is sold by Johnson Fishing, was declared one of the 50 greatest lures of all time by Field & Stream. Brody, you know this.
I'm pretty sure.
Hayden, you know this.
When was this...
Last year.
I'm worried that it's like...
I feel like the top 50 is not really a big deal, though.
I mean, in my family growing up, it was like, if you were trout fishing with gear, it was like a lot of things were referred to as spinners. Right. So I was like,
grab a spinner.
Oh, now that's a tip, because my mind was in largemouth bass spinner baits.
That's like a buzz bait.
Here's the question one more time.
Or blade bait.
Yeah.
Micro spinner bait, which is sold by Johnson Fishing, was declared one of the 50 greatest lures of all time by Field & Stream.
It confuses me because there are like some baits that we referred to just by brand names, and I don't know if like Johnson is like a conglomerate.
I don't think it's confusing one bit, Spencer.
Is everybody ready?
Let's go ahead and reveal your answers.
We have Carl saying rooster tail, Hayden saying rooster tail, Rick saying rooster tail, Brody saying beetle spin, Corey saying Thomas Cyclone, Cal saying Panther Martin.
That's a good answer.
Tressa saying minnow. Giannis saying blue fox. We have a correct answer in the room.
Ooh, blue fox is good too.
It's beetle spin. Nah. Brody got it right.
Meat spin?
The beetle spin was created by Vigil Ward in 1958. The lure is a safety pin spinner bait with a Colorado blade on one side and plastic grub on the other. Although it's my favorite artificial lure for panfish, it'll also solicit bites from bass, catfish, and more. Phil, we have two questions left, and I think it just got interesting. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yes. Unfortunately, Tressa, Corey, Hayden, Rick, and Cal are all out of the running.
You can't keep me from playing.
First-time player Carl Young has 6 points.
Ooh. Yeah, Carl!
And now tied for first place are Brody and Giannis with 7 points apiece.
Wow.
Deja vu all over again.
Thank goodness Randall isn't here.
That was a crucial question nine.
The topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via Chris Child. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What are the two main ingredients in fry sauce? What are the two main ingredients in fry sauce? With how confident the room looks, this may be the 5%er Brody was hoping for earlier. Again, what are the two main ingredients in fry sauce?
Some people call it fancy sauce.
Quick answers from everyone in the room. Is everybody ready?
No. Oh. I want to think a little longer.
Okay.
I'm having a real hard time finding beetle spin on the internet.
I don't think you're trying very hard then.
Is that beetle spin? Brody, is that the one that sometimes you find in a fly assortment at a shop?
No.
No, not that
one?
No,
it looks
like a Pistol Pete.
It looks like a little Mr. Twister, but it's got a little spinnerbait arm on it.
Yeah, it's like, take a spinnerbait, shrink it down. A
little plastic.
Very small. And then it's like tailless grub on the other side. Or sometimes the tail will have like two splits.
Yeah, this is not like what the bass folks call a blade bait.
Cal,
Can
you spin that around?
It's not like a trout spinner.
It's a spinner bait.
That's not what we're thinking of, though. We're thinking of like a trout spinner where it's like we're thinking of specifically an inline spinner is what you would call it. So blue fox, panther marlin, rooster tail, those are all inline spinners.
Back to the fry sauce.
When someone says spinner bait, that's what comes to mind.
Are you ready?
If you grew up with a
bait, have to be honest. For me, it's rooster tail, inline spinners.
I think inline spinners.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Again, this is the fry sauce question. We have Carl saying mayo ketchup, Hayden saying mayo ketchup, Rick saying ketchup mustard, Brody saying mayo sriracha, Corey saying ketchup mayo, Cal saying mayo ketchup, Tressa saying ketchup mayo, Giannis saying ketchup mayo. The correct answer is ketchup and mayonnaise.
Giannis.
Yes.
Brody nice. Falls behind. Fry sauce was invented in New Orleans in the early 1900s, but didn't gain popularity in America until about 50 years later. It's also been referred to as pink sauce, fancy sauce, and mayo chip. Most recipes call for one part ketchup and two parts mayo.
So in other words, when you put mayo and ketchup on a burger, you're just...
That's right, you're making fry sauce. Phil, we have one question left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Well, now it's down to Giannis and Brody. Oh, wait, no, I mean, technically Carl's still there, too. They both have 7 points. So Carl and Brody have 7, Giannis has 8. So
we'll make this a good, good question,
Carl and Brody.
We have one left or two left?
One question left. You need to get this. If you get this right, you win the whole thing. Question 10, the topic is hunting.
Pressure.
This man who hosted the outdoor show Spook Nation was sentenced to 30 days in jail in 2013 for a poaching violation. This man who hosted the outdoor show Spook Nation was sentenced to 30 days in jail in 2013 for a poaching violation. As a reminder, to go to overtime, we would need Giannis to get this wrong, who has yet to come up with an answer. We would need Brody or Carl or both to get it right. Brody, are you going to get this one?
Lacey Act infraction involved
no,
in that.
No, probably not. I can't. Oh, God.
Giannis has yet to come up with an answer. Carl, are you going to get this one right?
I don't think I'm going to.
Okay, this man who hosted the outdoor show Spook Nation was sentenced to 30 days in jail in 2013 for a poaching violation. Is anybody going to get this right?
I got it right.
Okay, Cal's got it.
I even know his middle name.
That's strange.
It was Kansas. I believe.
To help you, Carl.
What was that feller's name?
One more time. This man who hosted the outdoor show Spook Nation was sentenced to 30 days in jail in 2013 for a poaching violation. Brody, how you feeling?
Not good. Like, okay. Yeah.
Do you have an answer, though?
Sure.
Okay. Giannis, do you think you're going to come up with an answer?
No. I'm going to go question marks if we're ready to roll.
Is everybody else ready? Blank. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Carl saying Bomer. Hayden saying Bomer. Rick saying Old Man Busby. Brody saying Spook Span. Corey without an answer. Cal saying Spook Buffalo Span. Tressa without an answer. Giannis without an answer. The correct answer is Spook Span. Brody got it right, and we are going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
You ain't first, you're last.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. You're first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
Yeah, I think there was a $2 and $1 state or taking a buck across state lines.
Yeah.
What's that called when there's a one that, like, there's a word and then the next word has the same kind of sound? What's that?
Alliteration?
I knew it was that.
To clarify, the jail sentence was the result of multiple poaching violations by Spook in 2007. Spook used a landowner license in Kansas to tag a buck that was killed on a property he didn't own. In 2012, he was charged in Tennessee for guiding hunters and baiting turkeys while still on probation from the Kansas incident. And in 2014, Spook and his wife were arrested for tampering with evidence that was related to the turkey baiting violation.
And ex-pro athlete too, isn't that part of his deal? Like a basketball guy or something like that.
I don't know about him. He has the build for it though. He was a former athlete.
You wouldn't have accepted just Spook, right?
No, you needed to have your last name in there because I gave you his first name in the question. Here we go. Overtime. The topic
is
cooking. We are down to Brody and Giannis. According to a 2021 survey, what percentage of Americans eat meat? Now, this is based on an Ipsos polling of 1,018 Americans from across the country. The specific question was, do you include meat as part of your diet? So again, here is the trivia question. According to a 2021 survey, what percentage of Americans eat meat?
To one decimal point, or what's the deal?
Yeah, go to one decimal point. Everyone in the room can play along, but the only answers that matter are Giannis and Brody.
And when was the survey?
2021. Giannis, quick to an answer. How you feel about it?
Not going to overthink it.
Okay.
Just like Wordle, not going to control my life.
You have to 0.1 decimal points, just making sure.
0.1.
Go to 0.1. Brody, you have an answer. Go ahead and reveal your answers from the other folks in the room. We have Carl saying 90%.
Ooh, Brody's going high.
Hayden saying 81.3. Rick saying 92.1. Corey saying 85.1. Cal saying 76.1. Tressa saying 73. And our two answers left, we have Brody saying, what's that say, Brody?
92.1.
Giannis saying 80.1. One of you is within 3 percentage points of the correct answer. The right answer is 89%, making Brody our winner.
Yeah, buddy. Close game. Good
89%.
Job,
if I had put plaid after Buffalo for that question, I would have gotten that one correct. I just want to point that
but
out.
But you didn't, and Brody wins. So Brody gets to choose where the $500 conservation organization donation goes. So what's it going to be?
Let's go Meat Eater Land Access Initiative.
What do you like about them?
I heard they do good things. I'm not too sure, but, you know, I've heard good things.
Cal, do you have any
them.
Updates on the LAI of Meat Eaters?
Well, we need the land board here in Montana to invest $10 million into the project in order to get the majority of it across the line, because it's a series of permanent conservation easements. I got a really awesome opportunity to speak with all the senators in Northwest Montana, and it sounds like everybody's super on board, even folks that are not typically on board for this sort of a deal, which is cool to see. And the governor himself says that he's on board with it, so we just need the land board to follow through. But yeah, we have $200,000 going towards that project, and it's going to tie into, I think at this point, 93,000 acres of, you know, working forest public access, so hunting, fishing, snowmobiling, certain amount of wood cutting, kind of historical use for the area.
I like it. $500 going to the Meat Eater Land Access Initiative. Well done, Brody. He tripped up on the fry sauce question, but made up for it with Spookspan. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate Batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.